Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Please welcome your hosts, Patrick Allen and Matt Verderam.
All right, welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Addict Podcast brought to you by KC Beer Company, Kansas City Beer Company. Patrick Allen, Matt Verderam, Matt Connor, and Sterling Holmes, who is at his side gig at ESPN in Kansas City. And he's got this was my suggestion, y'all. I said, put the KC Beer Co. on a post-it note and put it on your forehead. And he did it. Sterling, getting any weird looks from anybody over there at ESPN Kansas City?
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Dig it. Welcome into we're going to preview the AFC playoffs. So it's playoff week, everybody. We got a lot to get to. Obviously, the last time we were all together, the Chiefs had won, but we didn't know who they were going to be playing, what the lay of the land was. So we're going to get to all that. I am drinking a KC Beer Co. Dunkel. You hear me mention this one on the ad. I don't know if you guys have had this one yet. Sterling, I know you're a big fan of the Baltic Porter, but goddamn, is it good. A Munich-style brown lager. Cheers.
It's incredible.
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Okay, let's get into kind of the lay of the land, if you will. So it's Chiefs versus Steelers. I'm sure all of you listening know this by now, but just in case you are living under a rock or something and missed what happened the rest of the weekend, it's Chiefs versus Steelers. The Chiefs ended up with the two seed, which was kind of a bummer because the Houston Texans made a little bit of a game of it. Let's kind of just start there. Were you guys nervous, Verderam? Were you like, oh, man, the Texans might actually pull this off? Or did you know the Texans were going to Texan?
I mean, I thought they'd lose, but I wasn't nervous. I was excited. I just couldn't believe it. I actually tweeted at one point during that mini comeback. I was like, my God, this is going to be an all-time heater for the Chiefs. Like, Jacksonville and Houston are going to win these games? You kidding? Like, it almost felt like Nirvana at that point. But, look, in the end, they end up being a two-seed. That's not a bad place to be, especially when going into the weekend, it was incredibly likely they were going to either play the Chargers or the Colts. And both those teams present different challenges. We had talked a lot about that. I thought the Chargers would be a really tough matchup. I thought the Colts would be a better one for the Chiefs. They end up getting the Steelers, who, look, it's the NFL, anything's possible, let's be real, are the best matchup anybody has in the playoffs. So for the Chiefs, not a bad draw at all. And in the meantime, you got New England going up to Buffalo. We're going to get into all this. You got the Raiders going to the Bengals. Like, there are some very plausible scenarios where the Chiefs have a nice road if things break their way.
Yeah, most certainly. And I guess that'll bring us to our first question. Are you happy with the Chiefs' first round draw? Verderam, you've already said absolutely. Matt Connor, how do you feel about the Steelers matchup?
I mean, yeah, how do you not love it? They were, they just won by 26 less than a month ago. And we add Travis Kelce at this point, right? So you got to feel good. We get Nick Bolton on the other side of the ball. There's a little bit of things that, the Steelers add. TJ Watt, I think, was hurt in that last game. So he's going to be more of a factor, I think, this time around. But yeah, how do you not love it? This feels like the weakest AFC playoff group total I've seen in years.
Yeah, I love it. I'm with you. TJ Watt, I mean, we'll get to the game preview later this week. But yeah, just can't let him wreck the game. He's the only one that could like cause some wonky things to happen. So the Chiefs, I'm sure, will have a plan for that. Sterling Holmes, they're calling it in the kingdom the Ben Roethlisberger retirement party. How do you feel about that? Did you get Ben something to send him off?
I think they're being nice. I was calling it the Weekend at Bernie's version of Big Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, this dude can't pass the ball past the line of scrimmage. As long as you wrap up Deontay Johnson, you're golden. I love this matchup. This is awesome. Give him a big old L to hold as he leaves. It'll also, to me, a little bit fitting because he's had so much success against Kansas City throughout his career. We all know about the field goal game. We all know about the Eric Fisher hold. So this would be outstanding. Let him go out with an L. You get that monkey off of your back. He's done. This is fantastic. I'm extremely excited about this matchup.
Yeah, as you should be. Definitely don't think the Chiefs could have gotten no NFL game is easy, but the easiest probably opponent that they could have gotten, a team that they handled earlier this season. Not really that long ago, actually, as well. All right. Again, this podcast is brought to you by KC Beer Co., the Kansas City Beer Company. It's the largest independent brewery in Kansas City with a focus on German-style brewing. That's what they do. And damn it, do they do it well. This Dunkel is absolutely incredible. Can't recommend it enough. And you guys, you stepped up so huge for us this week. You let KC Beer Co. know that you appreciated them sponsoring this podcast. Keep that going. Check out their beer. Let them know you're going to check out their beer because you know they're feeling the Arrowhead Addict love. And that's all because of you guys. And that's going to mean we're going to get to keep doing this podcast and keep bringing you great content. So yeah, we've all got our swag. So it's working out well for us too because I needed another beer hat. And now I've got, what do you guys think? Does this look good on me? Looking good?
Looks wonderful. Dashing.
Huh? Beautiful, right? Beautiful. except for the face. The hat, it's a really nice hat.
Well, it's because it hides your face. It does even better.
Yeah, it does. It does cast a little bit of a shadow. all right, let's get in. So here's what we're going to do, everybody. It's playoff week for the Chiefs. So rather than, as you may have noticed, since we're going live on a Tuesday, as instead of our regular schedule with an audio version with just Sterling and Matt Tuesday, we wanted to hit you live on YouTube, and we're going to do it like this. We're going to preview the AFC playoffs. Of course, we're looking at everything through the lens of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about how things shook out. We're going to talk about the Chargers-Raiders game, all that stuff, get into our thoughts on that, and then sort of preview the playoffs at large. And then on Thursday, we'll be back same time, 5 p.m. Arrowhead time on Thursday evening. We'll be back and we'll get into the nitty gritty of the Chiefs Steelers again. So it's going to be a fun week. And then we'll have some surprises for you on Sunday as well. Wall to wall coverage. Okay. Let's talk Chiefs football in the playoffs. But I want to start with the Raiders Chargers game. I don't think that this group, and we talked a lot about how we thought the Chargers were the biggest threat to the Chiefs. They know the Chiefs well. They play the Chiefs tough. Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. They've got a lot of weapons over there. Unfortunately for the Chargers, they're not going to the playoffs. Neither are the Indianapolis Colts because they lost to the Jaguars. But Verderham, what did you make of that absolutely wild game? What a season finale for the NFL.
That was not one of the better played games I've ever seen, but one of the wildest games I've ever seen. That was 28-14, I think it was. It's 15-point game. You're like, all right, the Raiders, hey, look at that. Like, they're going to win. They're going to beat them down. And then all of a sudden, the Raiders just went into full-blown Raiders mode and give up a touchdown. Carr fumbles. The Chargers should recover it. They don't. Then they punt away. Then the Chargers have like 19 fourth down conversions and score in the last play of regulation. I got to say, though, you know, look, everybody's killing Staley about this timeout he called in overtime. I don't understand why. I don't think that had anything to do with anything. Like, they were going to run the ball there either way. I would argue, if you want to crush Brandon Staley, crush him for the fact that they couldn't stop the run all year long. And on third and four, they bring out their run-stuffing personnel package and give up 11 yards. That's what I'd kill. Like, everyone in the world knew the Raiders were going to run there, and yet they still get enough yards to kick a field goal. I would kill him more for the fourth and one inside his own 20-yard line. I don't care what the analytics say. That is nuts. In that spot, with everything that's gone on that game, you can't block at all. I disagree with it. But look, ultimately, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, at least in my opinion, you are thrilled with the outcome of that game. Thrilled to death. Like, the Raiders are in the playoffs. You've beaten 89-21 over two games this year. You get the Steelers, who I don't know how many of you know or care. The Chiefs are a 13-point favorite this week. I went back and looked. This is the biggest spread in NFL history in the wild card round. The biggest. By 2 full points.
Wow.
So
by 2 by points. Two,
nobody
That's
ever been more than an 11-point favorite in a wild card game. The Chiefs are a 13-point favorite. And by the way, since the merger in 1970, there have been, I tweeted about this earlier, there have been 58 games in the playoffs and across all rounds that a team has been favored by double digits. They are 48-10, the favorites are, straight up. Against the spread, they're 34-23-1. So history favors the Chiefs. And I got to tell you, the line would have been a lot smaller if they were playing the Chargers. So I think it worked out just fine for KC.
And heading into the last day of the season, we were almost all convinced, look, it's going to be the Chargers. And the big thing about that was because, one, we thought that the Chargers would beat the Raiders, but we also didn't think that the Colts would lose to the Jaguars. That's how the Chiefs ended up playing the Steelers. It was total chaos. Sterling, what were you thinking during that Raiders-Chargers game? Were you one of the people that were you hoping for the tie to happen? Like, I wasn't, because I didn't want the Chargers in the playoffs at all. Like, just get them out now. But what did you think?
Dude, oh, hell yeah, I wanted a tie. I want absolute chaos. I get it. You want the Chargers out, but how funny would it be, Big Ben, all these Steelers fans think they're automatically in the playoffs, they tie. That would have been incredible. Would have been awesome. This is best Almost case up. Scenario for Kansas City. Yeah, this is best case scenario for Kansas City. I agree, ripping on Staley. If you know me, I'm one of the most analytical, positive people there are. That was stupid. Even the numbers say don't go for it. It was dumb. Yeah, the Cardinals went for it. Different scenario. They've already locked up a playoff spot. Completely different case. That was just a very poor decision by Brandon Staley. The Raiders tried to give it away. They did, because Justin Herbert became incredible down the stretch. He was phenomenal in the end game right there.
Yeah.
But the Chargers, they can change quarterbacks. You can change head coaches. You can change cities. End of the day, Chargers are going to charger. They found a way to blow it, and they did.
It was the most Chargers game of all the Chargers games we've seen recently. Matt Connor, what were your thoughts on that wild last day of the season?
You know what I loved? I loved the Colts getting their comeuppance after, like, you know, because they've been the source of Chiefs dread, like, a few times over the years. And to see them have, like, clinch and win, like, you know, win and in scenarios twice in a row. The Jags were so bad, they still won and still own the first pick in the draft, right? So they were, like, day class A of the lowest tier. And then, you know, Carson Wentz just laid an egg. You know, that whole team has some serious questions to ask from top to bottom. Those trenches weren't getting anything done. So there was a part of me that, like, it's been several years since the Colts embarrassed the Chiefs, but it was kind of nice to see karma do a big loop and come back around. I took some joy from that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, boy, not only did the Colts lose, the Jaguars kicked their asses. And this is what Verderam was, the point he was making when he said he wanted to play the Colts if the Chiefs had to go up against somebody, was because they were one-dimensional. And the Jaguars were like, all right, look, we're not going to let Jonathan Taylor run wild on us. Go ahead, beat us, Carson Wentz. And he couldn't do it. If you could stop Jonathan Taylor, that he's the key that unlocks that offense.
Nick so that Foles was pretty crazy. Wasn't coming out anytime soon. That Carson Wentz looking over his shoulder. Hey, Nick, bail me out again, please.
Right. And in fact, you know, I believe Eric Fisher got benched in that game. Our old friend Eric Fisher, things were going
so poorly. It wasn't
good
at the end. And I'll tell you that, you know what? That game goes to show. You know, coaches, we all know, anybody who's ever covered a press conference, whoever's watched a press conference, coaches say whatever they have to say to cover for their guys. And they should. That's their job. You keep it in-house, all that, fine. But I'll tell you, you can't hide it on the field. When you got to win a game, coaches' true feelings, they come out in the way you play a football game. The Colts were down double digits in the third quarter at Jacksonville. And halfway through the third quarter, Carson Wentz had thrown 10 passes. That's all you need to know about what Frank Reich thinks of Carson Wentz. Okay. And he's the reason they brought him there. First round pick, third round pick, all that stuff, worked with him in Philly. And yet, 10 passes. And we saw why, because the second he started throwing the ball, it was pick city, and that was the end of the game. This is why, if you have a quarterback in the NFL, and I'm not breaking any news with this, you have such a massive advantage. You're always in the game. That's why, to me, the Chargers were the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. I firmly believe that. I still do. Herbert, you saw why in the fourth quarter and overtime of that game. The Chargers were a dumpster fire around him. Dropped a million passes, have a crappy defense. The line was getting blown off the ball. I wasn't too keen on the way they coached that game. And yet they almost won. Single-handedly because of Herbert at the end of that game. Right? And you have to stop that tidal wave. That's why I think, really, and we'll get into it on Thursday, that's why I think the Chiefs are just such an overwhelming advantage in this game. Like Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually on Saran Petro's show right before this when we were talking, and one of the things I mentioned was, you know, he asked me, do you think there's any chance he has some magic in him? I said, well, not unless he goes back 5 years. He has no arm. Like, if you're the Chiefs, you can play them so aggressively because you know the ball no more than maybe once or twice is going to be thrown over your head. Like, there's just everything's short. Everything's quick. The biggest thing with the Chiefs in this game is just not letting guys run after the catch, really. You know, so, look, I thought on Sunday you saw the difference with Indianapolis. They don't have a quarterback, and they couldn't do anything against the worst team in football. And the Chargers, who did everything possible to lose, they ended up losing, but almost won because their quarterback brought him back over and over and over and over.
And if we can put a bow on the Chargers for this season, here's some stats for you. Now, they started 4-1. Then to finish the year, they went 5-7. And in the last quarter of the season, they went 1-4. So if you're a Chargers fan and you're mad because you didn't make the playoffs, don't blame Staley for calling a timeout. Don't blame the Raiders for not just kneeling at the 50-yard line. Blame your team to lose into the Chiefs, then the Texans, and then the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's why you're not in the playoffs. It's not because of a timeout or anything like that. And look, like they've got an incredible team, and you could see why you wouldn't want to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs. And that's why I think that dude's special. That drive, that last drive where he went down and tied the game to take them into overtime, it looked like they were done for about 5 or 6 different times on that drive. And the Raiders, give him credit, man. They were getting after him. He was getting pile-driven into the turf over and over and over again. They were hitting him. There were a lot of quarterbacks that, like, they just wouldn't have been, that would have been it. Like, they would have been so gun-shy from getting hit like that. Herbert's just ice cold delivering the football. I'm glad that dude's not in the playoffs, because that's a mark of a great player. It's like, it doesn't matter how much is going wrong, they can bring you back and keep you in it. Hopefully they'll make some bad personnel decisions this offseason and keep losing, because he's good. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, let's talk about some teams that actually did make the playoffs, unlike the Chargers and Colts, who couldn't do anything.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I mean, we might as well, not to play host here, but we might as well start with the first game of the weekend. I mean, because the other two AFC games are on Saturday, right? We get the Raiders and the Bengals in the 4:30 Eastern time window. And then at night, Pats-Bills, which, by the way, and we're going to get into both these games heavily here. Has anybody looked at the weather in Buffalo Saturday night?
Not good.
3 degrees. And if you've gone back and looked at Josh Allen's stats in bad weather, I would be concerned if I was a Buffalo fan. I'm not saying I'm even picking against them. I would be concerned. They have not functioned well in bad weather, which, of course, if you play in Buffalo, New York, that's an issue. New England is getting round one of that battle because it is going to be brutally cold. In Cincinnati, it's supposed to be 27. Fun note, Derek Carr has never won a game when it's been under 35 degrees. So he is looking to buck some history.
I got a question for you guys. Which AFC team poses the biggest challenge to Kansas City? Let's go around the horn. Let's start with Matt Connor.
I mean, it may seem obvious, but I got to say the number one seed and the Tennessee Titans. I don't know how you go back and look at a team that beat KC 27-3. And it looks like Derrick Henry is going to come back. They're coming fresh off the bye here. You know, they just have such an advantage over several other teams, and there's really no one else I really take seriously, to be honest with you, of any of the teams. I'm not scared of Buffalo, even though they won. I'm not scared of any of the teams that barely made it in. But, you know, I think the Titans are a serious foe. They're well coached. They've been through the ringer and came out the other side. And they can play with a chip on their shoulder, even though they are the number one seed. So I think there's a lot of elements there that are going to prove to be tough for Kansas City. I would still take KC, but that's what I would say.
Sterling?
Bills. Titans don't scare me at all. Ryan Tannehill had the best game of his career, and they won by 3 against the Houston Texans. Their defense is atrocious. Mahomes and this offense should just take advantage of that weak secondary. I know what happened early on in the season, but if you're to compare this Chiefs team to that exact same team, it is completely different. The Bills, to me, pose the biggest issue because I'm sure Vernon's going to say the same thing. They have the best quarterback. When you have the best quarterback, that always gives their team the best chance. Obviously, Mahomes is better than Allen, but who's the second best quarterback in the AFC? It's Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the second best quarterback. He has Stephon Diggs. They have a solid offensive line. Their defense is, I think, pretty damn staunch. They have a lot of playmakers in the secondary. I think the Chiefs are by far the best team, but the second best team to me would be the Buffalo Bills.
So I'm going to surprise you. I think Buffalo is the overall best team. I think the hardest matchup for the Chiefs is Tennessee, because Tennessee's got a really good front four defensively, and they can run the hell out of the football. They're physical, and that game would be on the road. I think Buffalo is very good, and I think either one of them could beat the Chiefs. Hell, both of them pounded the Chiefs this year. Although I will tell you, I do not put a lot of stock into that. I just don't. The other Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. They played the Texans and Titans, got beat by both of them, then pounded both of them in the playoffs. The Bills are dangerous because of Allen. I don't see them being dangerous for much else. They don't run the ball. They're not great in the trenches. Without Tre'Davious White, they don't have a corner that scares you that can play heads up on any of the Chiefs receivers. Their safeties are great. Hyde and Poyer are incredibly underrated. They do a lot of stuff. They're really, really good. But the Bills don't have a pass rush. Like that, to me, in the playoffs, that kills you. It just kills you. You're going to face some team that can just light you up because you can't get home. And I think the Titans can get home. Now, the flip side of that is I do not believe in Tannehill, and the Titans' corners are not good. And if Mahomes has time, he's going to rip him up. He's just going to throw all over the place, in my opinion. But healthy Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown is a beast. Julio Jones may not be Julio Jones of old, but he's still Julio Jones. I would respect the hell out of him. Vrabel's a really good coach. But I got to tell you, look, the Titans and Bills could both beat the Chiefs. If they played New England somehow in the AFC title game, like if they get there, they're scary with Belichick. They'll have had to win some really tough games. And the Bengals, I think the Chiefs would beat the Bengals, but that's a team with a lot of weapons. Like, as we saw a couple weeks ago, they can hang it on you. So nothing's going to be easy for the Chiefs, but they do get a break with the matchup they have early. If they can't win this game, they don't belong in the playoffs. And then after that, we'll see how it goes. But I think Tennessee is the toughest.
Hey, you guys make some good points. You almost convinced me about Tennessee, Verter. That was a really a good breakdown of them. But I'm going to stick with Sterling here and say the Bills, only because I just don't believe in Tannehill. And the Bills have played really good defense at times this year. And the Chiefs have a little bit of a difficulty with quarterbacks that can run. That threw them for a little bit of a loop last week with Drew Lock running around and scoring. So now I don't think the Chiefs were respecting Drew Lock and his running ability as much as they will be if they play the Bills, but it's just something to consider. It's another wrinkle that teams have to worry about. But I will say that the other two, what scares me about Tennessee and what scares me about Cincinnati that doesn't scare me as much about the Bills is those big receivers that can go up and get the ball. The Chiefs really seem to struggle with guys like that, with Jamar Chases and the Mike Williams. And they have for Mike Williams, even when he hasn't had good seasons, is giving the Chiefs problems. So, they all worry me. Those are obviously the big three along with the Chiefs. But I'm going to stick with the Bills because of the quarterback situation. I think if the Chiefs can go out there and they can, you know, who knows what version of Derrick Henry, like what's Derrick Henry going to be like? Is he going to be shaking off some rust? Even Derrick Henry at 50% is scary to me, but it's one of those weird things where you bring a guy back in and maybe he's not 100%, but he's trying to get in for the playoffs. And maybe it's not the best thing for your team, you know, that because you're trying to get him touches, but he's not as effective as normal. And it cuts down some of the other things that they've been doing well recently, throwing the football, and some of the other guys that they have that can run the ball a little bit as well. Good job by Mike Vrabel with that team this year, by the way, taking some injuries and still getting that one seed. All right. The next question I got for you guys, and by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could hit that thumbs up button for us, we'd really appreciate it. Helps get more people in here. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts. And if you're interested in hanging out with us in the Discord, we were just talking before the game, check out the join function as well. Okay. So of these games, we know the slate, right? That we've got here, the two AFC games, besides the Chiefs game, will be played on Saturday. Of the favorites in those games, and it's all the home teams, who do you think is the team that could get upset this weekend? Let's start with you, Werder, and we'll go back around the other way.
All right. So I'm looking it up right now because I think both those teams could be upset. I think those games are really interesting. I think Cincinnati is a touch more likely to get upset, even though I think the Pats are a better team than the Raiders, because the Raiders and Bengals have never been there, ever. Like, the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990. Zach Taylor's never coached in a playoff game. Joe Burrow's never played in a playoff game. Now, he's played in some big damn college football games, but he's never been in a playoff game. The Raiders have not won a playoff game since 2002. Carr has never started a playoff game. Bisaccia, of course, has never coached in a playoff game either. So that lends itself to me to a lot of variance. I don't think either offensive line is very good. That lends itself to sacks and strip sacks and all kinds of nonsense, right? A tip ball. That game, to me, is going to come down to, can Crosby and Ngakoue force a turnover or two with Burrow? Can they hit him? Can they get him to throw a ball in a coverage? That's the question. If they can't, they're going to get smoked because Burrow's just going to go nuts throwing the ball down the field. But I do not think, look, I've seen some people talk about this Bills pass game like it's some foregone conclusion. I don't know who else feels this way. I've watched Belichick for 20 years. Yeah, that's not a foregone conclusion. Like, I have a sneaking suspicion in that game. Belichick's going to say, Josh Allen, you are not running out of the pocket. I don't care. It's 3 degrees. You've been awful in bad weather. We're going to put J.C. Jackson on Gabriel Davis, and we're going to double Stephon Diggs, and we are going to force you to run the ball with the backs. We're going to force you to throw the ball to Dawson Knox and Emmanuel Sanders, who has not been very good since October. I think if you are the Pats, there's a real path to winning this game, that the big key is that Mac Jones does not kill them in this game. He's got to just be efficient. He has to be Alex Smithian. He doesn't have to be great. Yep. He doesn't have to throw for 300. He's got to give you 22 of 30 for 220 yards, 215 yards, and a touchdown. And if he does that, they can win that game. So, look, I think the Bengals are a touch more likely to be upset just because I think there's a lot of variance in that game. But I would not be shocked at all if the Bills were to lose.
Matt Connor, what about you?
Yeah, I don't think the Bills make it past this weekend. I think
Wow.
I think the playoffs are all about good coaching and coaches who know how to do the mismatch, who know how to create mismatches. They split the season series. Now the Bills just did. I mean, really took it to the Patriots in the last meeting. But Mac Jones was horrible. He had a fumble, threw two interceptions. It was just a horror. And meanwhile, Josh Allen looked like he was like still in the MVP race in that game. I mean, it was like a total, you know, disparity of quarterbacks there. I just don't think that Belichick would ever let that happen again. Damian Harris ran for over 100 yards in that game. He's going to run some more and keep Mac Jones very, very comfortable with what he's going to ask him to do in that weather, in that setting. I think Sean McDermott's a good coach for sure, but we've seen him come up against these moments and not be able to get his team over the top. We've seen Bill Belichick pull mediocre rosters across lines they should have never crossed before. So, you know, I think we're going to see a little bit of maybe what Mac Jones is made of, but I trust Belichick more in this kind of setting than I do McDermott. And I'm just not scared of the Bills. I just don't think I think there's too one-dimensional on both sides, and I just don't. Belichick is the kind of guy who can exploit what you cannot do. And I think that's the difference here.
God, I would be so terrified if I was a Bills fan. Like, yeah. Belichick, the part three edition of this, like, we've all lived it. All it takes with Belichick is you can't figure out what he's doing for a half.
Yep.
And you're screwed. Like, you're playing so far, especially in weather like that. You know, you get down in a game 10 points, something like they're going to just turn the screws. It becomes so hard. Look, the Bills are a favorite, and they're a favorite for a reason. I would be scared to death of that game if I was a Buffalo fan. I would be very concerned that you're going to have one of these games where Belichick comes up with something. They're playing like dying the entire game, and there's nowhere to go with the ball. I think, by the way, and not throwing, take it away, man, I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to play diamond dollar defense. They're going to put 6 and 7 defensive backs out there. They are going to beg Buffalo to try to run the ball. And they're going to say, if Allen scrambles, we got our fastest guys on the field. He's not going anywhere. I have a feeling that's exactly how they're going to play him. And if they do, I think Buffalo's going to have to run. And we know how much Buffalo loves to run the football. So it becomes a very interesting game. Will you take what the defense gives you? We saw the Chiefs struggle with that for 3 months. It's a hard thing to go against who you are in the biggest moment of your season.
Sterling?
So I think the Bills win. And I know all this Bill Belichickian and what he's going to do and what he's done in the past. Only issue is he had Tom Brady on the other side.
Did.
If you get up 10, okay, sure. Yeah, Tom Brady is going to go check down and hit his guys, not going to make any mistakes. I don't trust Mac Jones to do the exact same thing. Hell, Belichick doesn't just trust Mac Jones. Look at the 3 pass attempts. For me, and the last game against Miami, they were down in the fourth quarter by 2 touchdowns, and they're still running the damn ball. They don't trust Mac Jones. For me, I think the Raiders actually beat the Bengals. It's not like, could it happen? I think it does happen. The reason why, the Raiders basically just did. The Chargers and the Bengals are that Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. They're the exact same team. Their variance is so high, you have no idea what's going to happen. I think the Bengals come out sloppy. I think Joe Burrow, while he's been on this extreme heater, is going to stop eventually. He's not shown the consistency in a 6-game, 8-game, multiple game stretch that he can do the exact same thing week in and week out. I think the Chargers, they've shown more consistency, to be honest with you. Derek Carr, you know what you're going to get. He's an above average quarterback. Not spectacular, not horrendous, above average. I think that gets it done.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. That's my upset special. I'm going to put money on it. The Raiders, they're going to go to Cincinnati. It's their first playoff game in a long time. They got a lot of young players, and that matters. Experience matters. And I just think the Raiders are playing good football right now. And so are the Bengals, granted. But what the X factor in this game for me, it's Joe Burrow and his inexperience. And it's Max Crosby. That guy is playing out of his mind right now. Their pass rush was so good against the Chargers. And as we've already mentioned on this episode of this podcast, Justin Herbert is pretty unflappable. And they were all over him. Joe Burrow is not unflappable. Joe Burrow is cool. He's a cool customer, but he can be flapped. And I think that the Raiders are going to get to him early. And that combination of, you know, it's my first playoff game. I'm playing. He's basically playing in his hometown, right? He's from around that part of Ohio. Like, this is all really exciting for him. And I just think Max Crosby is just going to terrorize him. I think I'm looking at some picks. I'm looking at some strip sacks. And I think it goes downhill from there. And I think the Raiders lean on Josh Jacobs, who is also running really well right now and with a lot of confidence, looks healthy. If there's a team that's going to go down and sort of be like the disappointing playoff team, I think it's going to be the Bengals.
Patrick, I'm digging. You and I have agreed on this so far with Bills and Bengals. You and I.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Maybe we have to have a little wager here.
If the Raiders score more than 3 points, I'll send someone a bottle of scotch if the Raiders score more than 3 points this weekend.
What?
Oh, I'll yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also will take that bet.
more than 3 points?
Go buy 3 bottles of scotch.
You got to explain that one. That's it. bold.
Yeah, explain yourself, dude.
I'm just not a believer at all. I think they fell backwards into the playoffs like the Steelers. I think it's going to be, what do you say, a boat race, Matt? Is that?
I do say a boat race, but they beat the Colts and Chargers.
I've never been to a boat race.
Wait, Matt, sir, are you saying they're going to get a safety or get shut out? Like, those are your two options. My scotch.
Yeah, I'm in.
That's an aggressive play, man. Like, bordering on, I'm wondering if you already drank a bottle of scotch.
Do I get something in return, or do I just have to send you guys?
Dude, I'll send you, God, I don't know, I'll think of some cheese memorabilia.
We'll think of something. We'll figure it out.
I'll send you something worth over $100 if that happens. I would be floored.
Equivalent. So, not in.
I will say that of all the games this weekend, including, by the way, the NFC games, I think the Raiders-Bengals game has the highest variance of, like, who the hell knows. That could be one of the, like, if you said to me the Raiders win 31-20, I wouldn't be surprised. If you said to me the Bengals beat them 38-17, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. If you said to me either one of them wins 42-38, I could see that too. So I would not be – I really think it comes down to who gets more pressure and who forces a break. Who just, you know, strip sack or, you know, somebody's under duress for the third time in a row and they throw a ball into coverage. I think it's going to take that kind of a thing. I think the Bengals are the better team, but – the Raiders, to their credit, are having one of those stretches right now where it's just, you got to be confident if you're them right now. You've got to feel like you're kind of just going to win. Now, I don't know if I said this earlier. I might say this on Stacked in Box. I have a feeling the reason the Raiders kicked that field goal at the end of the game, they knew that if they missed the field goal, it's a tie game. It's not like you're missing the playoffs. You go to Arrowhead, where you have been hammered twice this year, or at least by the team that plays there twice this year. If you win, you go to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati also beat them, but it's a close game throughout most of the game. Then in the last 5 minutes, the Bengals kind of pulled away. Like, everybody was like, I can't believe they kicked it. I can absolutely believe they kicked it. Like, if you're a Raiders fan, you're begging them to kick that. You don't want to go to Kansas City. You'd much rather win and then say, all right, look, we'll go to Cincy, and if we win that game, we go to Tennessee. You know, I mean, I think that's a better road for them than going to Arrowhead. Not that they couldn't win, but they have had zero success against Kansas City. I think for them, it made a lot of sense to kick.
So do you think there is a core? I've seen people talking about this week. Do you think there is a coordinator in Rich Bisacci's, you know, when they were making that decision, they said, hey, coach, do you want to go to Kansas City or do you want to go to Cincinnati? Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall or in the headset just to hear if that conversation happened?
They know all those scenarios. They know before the game. And do I think that played a factor? I'm not saying it played the entire factor. I think it played a factor. Yeah. They're human. They would have never come out and say that. But do I think if you're Rich Bisacci and you're sitting there, okay, and you've taken that timeout with 2 seconds left, are you sitting there thinking, man, you know what I really want? I want to go see Mahomes and the Chiefs, who have hung 44 and a half points on average against us this year, or the Bengals, who have never been to a playoff game with this group, right? Like, look, it's not, and I'm not disrespecting the Bengals or anything like that. The Bengals are really good. I think they're going to win the game. But if you're the Raiders, like, where would you rather go? That's like if years ago when the Chiefs had Alex Smith, if the Chiefs don't kick a field goal, they go to Foxborough. If they kick a field goal, they go play, like, I don't know, Andy Dalton and the Bengals. Okay, let's stick to the same franchise. You're like, yeah, I'll kick the field goal. I'll take my chances, right? Like, of course you would. Doesn't mean you think you're definitely going to Cincy and win the game, but my God, you'd rather do that than go, yeah, let's go to Foxborough. Let's kneel on it and go get Brady and Belichick. Of course. Of course you'd rather go the other way.
All right. So when we're talking about upsets and ideal situations and how these games could go in regards to the Chiefs, obviously we're all assuming the Chiefs are going to win. We'll have our preview show and let you know if we think they're going to win on Thursday. But what, as far as an ideal road to the Super Bowl for the Chiefs, what's the ideal road for you for the Chiefs Super Bowl? Let's start with you, Matt Connor. So obviously they've got Pittsburgh. What do you want to see happen? What's the ideal path if you could hand pick it?
I mean, I know I just promised some scotch if the Raiders score some points, but I mean, the Chiefs fan in me wants to see the Raiders score a truckload of points, because like, who wouldn't want to meet them again for the third time? all these things about like, you don't want to see a team again later in the playoffs because, you know, like, I mean, like, I don't think that rule applies whenever we've seen the Chiefs just steamroll Las Vegas twice in a row. Is there anyone who would be shaking in their boots or wondering if they've like saved something a little extra? You know, so it would be laughable if the Chiefs made it to the next round with like beating the Steelers and the Raiders. Like you, what you would hear that whole week after that is a bunch of talking heads going, Kansas City has played the Bad News Bears twice in a row. You can't trust how good they are. Like you would hear a bunch of bluster about how the Chiefs get this unfair path because they haven't faced a real challenge. So, I mean, of course I'm down for it. I'd love to watch, you know, juggernaut football, but yeah, that, you know, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm assuming everyone else is going to say the same thing, right?
Yeah, I think we probably all agree. And I guess I was going to throw it out there for the group. Do we all hope that what happens is the Chiefs beat the Steelers, the Patriots beat the Bills, and the Raiders beat the Bengals? So the Pats go up to play Tennessee, the sixth seed, and the Raiders come to Arrowhead in the divisional round, and then the Pats knock off the Titans, in which case the AFC Championship game would be at Arrowhead. Is that preferable for you guys, or would you like to see it go another way?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's probably the easiest path, quote-unquote. I got to tell you, though, I don't give a damn. Like, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl and you're going to win the Super Bowl, you got to play some good football teams. That's the way it goes. That's the way it is. The other Chiefs won the Super Bowl. They had to beat Deshaun Watson. Now, that Houston team was not great, okay? But they had to beat a very good quarterback with some star players on that team. They had to beat Tennessee, who at the time everybody kind of thought was a Cinderella. Well, as it turns out, Tennessee's really good. And that was a team where Henry was unbelievable that year, and the Chiefs stopped them. And then they played the Niners, who were the best defense in football and had this unbelievable running game and all the rest of it, and Samuel and Kittle and Sanders. To me, yeah, the easiest road, yes, it's Pittsburgh, it's Vegas, and then it's probably New England, right? Like, yes. But I'm also the belief, like, it is the playoffs. If they play the Raiders are going to be hot as hell, and all the pressure in the world is going to be on Kansas City in that game. Nobody is going to give the Raiders a shot to win that thing. And the Raiders are going to be like, look, we got embarrassed like none other. Like, we're going to be trying to win that game. Like, you know, go all out, handle business. Now, do I think Chiefs would beat them? Yes. But I don't think it's an easy game necessarily. And I don't think beating Belichick in an AFC championship game, I don't care who the hell's quarterback is easy. So, yes, it's the easiest route on paper. But I firmly believe, and Jose just said it in the chat, the biggest opponent of the Chiefs is the Chiefs. Missing tackles, yeah. Taking penalties. If Kansas City plays good football for the next 3 weeks, they'll be in the Super Bowl. I don't care who they play, where they play them, what time the game is, what the rest differential is. I don't give a shit. If Kansas City is healthy and it plays to its capabilities, they will win. And that's honestly how I feel about it.
The Sterling. Ideal path of getting to the Super Bowl is getting to the Super Bowl. That's all that matters. Who cares who you're playing? You have to beat who's ever in front of you. That's what matters. I know it's a stupid cop-out answer, but that's the fact of the matter. And who cares? If you play good teams, that gets you even more prepared to play whoever's coming out of the NFC. Do you think the Raiders are going to get you super prepared? Derek Carr, is he the equal to Tom Brady, to Aaron Rodgers, to Matt Stafford and that loaded Rams team?
Yeah, that's just a good point. Yeah, and you know, for me, look, I want the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. And so from that point of view, yeah, give me the teams that I think are inferior, the most inferior teams in the AFC, because that means the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, and then all they have to do is have one good game, and they win the championship, as opposed to, you know, going up against, you know, the Bengals and Bills and Titans. But if you want the catharsis tour, right, it starts with retiring Ben Roethlisberger and then getting revenge against the Bengals, and then or getting revenge against the Bills, and then getting revenge against the Bengals or the Titans, whoever makes it through, right? Like that's your catharsis tour. And then you could go and maybe finally the NFL gets its dream of having Mahomes versus Rodgers in the Super Bowl. And then you have that battle. Or would you rather see Tom Brady and get that revenge for Mahomes?
I don't give it one iota about revenge.
But if you get Tampa, they're gonna win. Okay, so I'm telling you, the scenario is the Chiefs are gonna win the Super Bowl.
I want to play Tampa because I think they would kick Tampa's ass. Honestly, like they want and not because of any revenge stuff. They're just not the same team. Godwin's not there. Brown's not there. Defensively, they can't stop a nosebleed in the passing game. David's all banged up. Like, I just think it's kind of the reverse of last year when the Chiefs kind of limped in there with a million guys out. I think the Bucs are just all beat up. I think the Chiefs would just throw the ball all day. Like, think about the difference between the Super Bowl offensive line and this offensive line. I just think, and you want to talk about, like, how I just mentioned, I think the Raiders would be really laser-focused if they play the Chiefs again. You know what the Chiefs would be like waiting for that game for 2 weeks? They get to avenge that. Like, I think the Chiefs will light them up this year. I really do. I think the only team in the NFC, for me personally, that would worry me is the Packers. Because Rodgers cancels out Mahomes. And then you get into, like, well, who's better other than that? Now, look, you can make a case either way. But I think the Packers are the best team in football. I do. I think they're a slightly better team. I think they're the best team in the league. If Kansas City saw anybody else out of the NFC and was healthy, I think the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. And I think against Green Bay, it's a coin flip. But I think anybody else, it's 60-40 or better. But they got to get there. Even this game against Pittsburgh, look, rightfully so, we're all sitting here like, yeah, they're probably going to smoke Pittsburgh. It is still a playoff game. They still have to win. Yeah. God forbid, man, they could even win, but they lose somebody who's key. Like, that's the other part of this, and that's true of every game. You know, what if the Bills crush New England, but, you know, of course, nobody's rooting for it, but, like, what if, like, Josh Allen gets hurt? You know, and then it's like, okay, yeah, they won, but now it's Mitchell Trubisky next week. You know, like, all that stuff factors in. So,
Pro Bowler Trubisky, by the way, just to you. Oh, it's a Pro Bowler.
God. Pro Bowler. So is Derek Anderson. So is Matt Castle. But hey, listen, I think if you're a Chiefs fan.
Poor Matt Castle, wherever he is, he's like, the fuck did I do?
I'll tell you what he did.
He's just minding his he Matt Castle's somewhere minding his own business.
I'm in pain.
No, he was surrounded by the biggest championship.
He was a very nice person, by the way.
Fine human being. Don't yell at Matt Castle. Not a good quarterback.
I think Matt Castle could have had not quite an Alex Smith career, but if he had the right coach, he could have had like an Alex Smith, Chad Pennington maybe career if he had all the right pieces around. I'm just going to say that, put that out there. Maybe people disagree, but I got a Matt Castle jersey from a bootleg from China. So I got to give him some respect. All right. So listen, this is a fun question. Who is your dark horse Chiefs impact player for the playoff run? So somebody who obviously we know the key guys, Jones and Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but who is like low key the guy that you're like, man, if we're going to do this, this person could be the difference maker for the team. Let's start with Matt Connor.
Willie Gay. I mean, to me, that presence in the middle was lacking when they went last year. And remember, there was so much buzz about the Bucs linebackers compared to the Chiefs. You draft Gay knowing he's a developmental project. He's going to come around in the second year and hopefully be what you want him to be. And he is. He is that kind of a force in the middle against any quarterback who's going to run. Against a tight end that I'm worried about, or some sort of like Austin Eckler type of back. I just think Willie Gay fills a role that the Chiefs have not had on previous Super Bowl runs. And I like what he adds then to the defense in that way. He's getting better, you know, every week. So to me, he's that dark horse this year for this run that I think could make a major difference in the Chiefs' defensive approach to various opponents in different ways.
Nice. Interesting. Sterling?
So I have two, one offensive and one defense, but I don't want to take one of your guys's, so I'll just say one and go with Nick Bolton. And it's not just the Mizzou in me. It's because he's the best run stopper on Kansas City's defense. A lot of the teams in the playoffs are going to try to run the ball on Kansas City. Nick Bolton is the biggest X factor to try and stop that. Patriots, what do? Run the football. The only team basically outside the Bills and Bengals, Josh Jacobs, they're going to try and run. Nick Bolton's going to have to be there, right? Steelers, week one, it's going to have to be Nick Bolton stopping Najee Harris. I think Nick Bolton will be the biggest X factor in Kansas City's defense.
So fun tweet, by the way, from Matt McMullen, who does a nice job for the Chiefs. He's their team reporter. Tweeted out earlier today, Nick Bolton finished the regular season with 112 total tackles and 11 tackles for a loss, becoming just the ninth rookie since 1999 to tally 110 plus tackles and 10 plus tackles for a loss. And was the only one of those guys to also score a touchdown. So that's a little fun nugget there.
Now do his playtime percentage.
I don't want to talk about it. Which, it's even more impressive. I'm going to tell you something right now. As a fun little nugget to what I'm going to say, I look forward to pulling every remaining hair out of my head when the Chiefs put Ben Eamon on the field on third down and yank Bolton and Gay off of it. That's going to be where I just completely lose any ability to stop swearing at the television. I can't wait for Pat Freiermuth to have an 8-yard catch on third and seven as Nick Bolton and Willie Gay are standing on the sideline, and I'm just going to lose my shit. But regardless, look, I'll give you one that I think, as long as he's healthy, Darrell Williams. He has quietly been very, very good down the stretch. He has over 1,000 scrimmage yards. He's been one of the best receiving backs in football. And I could see a game. Don't forget, the Titans a couple years ago in the AFC Championship game, when they played the Chiefs, they played that double-double coverage where they doubled Hill and they doubled Kelsey and Watkins went nuts. Now, maybe Hardman goes nuts. Maybe it's a Pringle game. I could see that being a game where the Chiefs just go, fine, you want to do that? Darrell Williams all day long. He can run a lot of routes. He is going to be a problem coming out of that backfield. They use him the way I thought they were going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, really. Like, and the funny thing is, they joked about how he had no hands forever. Like, Mahomes talked about that after that Raiders game. He had 100 yards. They're like, yeah, we always joked about how he couldn't catch the ball. And now all of a sudden, the guy catches everything. So I think Darrell Williams, I wouldn't be shocked if in one of these playoff games, he has like 150 yards from scrimmage. I think it's absolutely in play.
I love it. I'm going to go with Dan Sorensen. I'm kidding. Although he was the dark horse a couple of years ago when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, but it's not going to be this year. The only way he's going to be the dark horse is it's going to be a dark horse. If Dan be a dark day, is too much involved. Dark day, yeah. I'm going to go with Mecole Hardman. I think he is outside of Hill and Kelsey. He's the most explosive, dangerous player on the offense, whether it's maybe returning a punt or catching one of these screens and breaking a big play. They're going to need him probably to make a couple of plays. And if he can do that and that's a big difference maker for this team. If you get like a 60-yard run out of Mecole Hardman or a touchdown out of Mecole Hardman, like that is like a big plus bonus for this offense. And it makes it really hard, I think, to beat Kansas City. So because of the skill, how dangerous he is on the field, if he can show up and make a couple of big plays for the Chiefs, that could be the difference in making a Super Bowl run.
I wanted to add real quick, the one guy none of us said, and we should have, or at least mentioned him, because in the playoffs, he's been unbelievable for the Chiefs, Frank Clark. He has been a guy who in the regular season for them, like he's been fine, you know, times not fine, times like fine, good. He turns into like Reggie White in the playoffs. So you know, there are some guys, man, who just have a habit of doing that where in the playoffs, whatever, like Damian Williams was the running back version of that. The guy's pretty good. And then he'd have like four touchdowns in every playoff game he played for Kansas City. I would not be shocked this week if Frank Clark is like three sacks and a forced fumble. He's just every time they're in the playoffs, he's amazing. And don't forget too, like, you don't think he knows he's playing for a contract? Now, what if he goes out and they play four playoff games and he has like seven sacks?
You know, he does. He eases into the regular season, but when it comes playoff time, he just oozes playmaking ability. It's incredible the way that he just oozes
horrible word.
All over the field playmaking ability. Sorry, I had to do that. If you know, you know. All right, so answer this question for me. This is a fun one. The Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if. Let's start with you, Verderam. The Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if.
They don't beat themselves. That's it. If they don't beat themselves, they'll go to the Super Bowl. And that's not a slight against any of these other teams. Buffalo's really good. Tennessee is really good. Cincinnati, I think, is dangerous. They're frisky. New England's incredibly well coached. The Raiders are hot right now. The Steelers are breathing. But if the Chiefs play their best football for three straight games, they'll be in the Super Bowl. And I don't know that anybody could even really argue that. Maybe they would. Maybe somebody would say, no, I think if Buffalo plays their best, if Tennessee plays their best. In my opinion, if the Chiefs play their best football for 3 weeks, close to it even, an A-, they'll go to the Super Bowl.
I love it. I agree. Sterling, the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if
they don't lose the turnover battle in a game by two or more. As long as they keep the ball, they don't turn it over, they don't give up the wonky big plays, I think they win. No pick sixes, right? No wide receiver off Tyreek Hill's hands into the D back for an easy touchdown. None of those. You don't lose a turnover battle by two. By two, they still win.
I have a big fear of like the turnover thing from earlier in the season creeping back in one of these playoff games. Matt Connor, the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if...
if the offensive line does what they got all of those guys to do. You invested a second round pick, you grabbed Trey Smith, you spent $85 million over 5 years for Joe Tooney, you tried to move heaven and earth to get Trent Williams, and when that didn't work, you used your first round pick to get Orlando Brown Jr. You reset those five for this moment. So if those five do what they've been doing already, I think that's the difference.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Well, I wanted to say the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if Casey Beer all sends us all another case of beer.
Mine's coming tomorrow.
Maybe they'll just do that. Yeah, yours is coming.
They say that. They actually sent it to me, Verderam. I told them, hey, send it to my address instead of yours. Thought it'd help you out a little bit.
Monster.
But I'm going to go with the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl if they execute offensively in the second half. They have been not great in the second half of football games lately. They've looked really good in the first half. The way teams are playing them on defense, forcing them to go on those long drives, that's all well and good. It helps the Chiefs' defense, all of those things. But it does limit the amount of times Mahomes gets to touch the ball. Whereas in previous years, oh, we're down, 28-3 or whatever against the Texans, but we can just sling it. We're going to get all these big plays and cause turnovers. You can't count on that this year. The Chiefs should have beaten the Bengals. They didn't execute in the second half on offense. So they need to be aggressive as well in the second half of these games. They need to be as aggressive against teams in the playoffs as teams are going to be against them. And I always call the playoffs, these are kitchen sink games.
Yep.
They're going to, like, this is where everybody empties out the playbook. They throw the kitchen sink at you. And so you can't know what to expect. You got to watch out for weird flea flickers, that play that they've been practicing all, since training camp, that they haven't run. And those little things can make differences in close games. So the Chiefs can't afford to get complacent and be like, oh, we're going to win because we're the Chiefs and we'll get the ball back. Oh, you know, there's 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Joe Burrow, we just kicked off to Joe Burrow. We're down three, but we'll be fine. No. Get your points when you have the opportunity to get points.
I think you and all you guys made great points, but I think on Sunday night, and we're going to talk about this next, on Thursday here, and we break down the Chiefs and Steelers in depth. But if you're the Chiefs, be ready for anything in that game, anything, fake punts from weird places, fake. I mean, if you're the Steelers, look, Mike Tomlin's a very good coach. That is not a dumb individual. Mike Tomlin knows football, and he understands they're going to have to do some stuff in this game to win. Like, they're going to have to steal some possessions. They're gonna have to surprise the Chiefs. They're not going to play the Chiefs straight up in this game and beat them. It's going to have to be a lot of weird stuff. So I expect that. The other thing I expect Andy to have some plays you've not seen all year. They do this every time they get to the playoffs. They plot all these plays they've been sitting on all year long and been working on. It's like when they ran that Rose Bowl parade play, right? And they'd worked on that since OTAs. And they waited until 4th-and-1 in the Super Bowl to unveil it. I remember sitting in the press box and what the hell are they doing? And boom, up the gut and it works. The other point I wanted to say real quick, Matt Connor, well said about the line. How amazing is it? They have a center and a right guard who are rookies. They're not even the least bit concerned about either one of them. Like, normally you'd go into a playoff game and go, God, like, especially against a defensive front, with Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. And even Wormley, who's been really good, he's got 7 sacks this year, you'd be like, oh, God, that is a big concern. Not even remotely concerned. Like, to the point, actually, where you're like, yeah, that might be our biggest strength. It's the interior of the offensive line. That's a hell of a job by Brett Veach to land those two guys. I mean, it really is.
We're going to get to our predictions for the AFC playoff games, not the Chiefs game. I think you know what we think, but we're going to do that on Thursday. But just right before we get to that, I wanted to ask the three of you, the way that the schedule shook out with the Chiefs, but like, so, you know, it's a little weird. Like, there's two AFC games on Saturday. So those teams will be done, and then they can start, they can watch the Chiefs Steelers game, and they can start scouting. They might even know who they're going to play in the divisional round. Do you like how this worked out for the Chiefs, or was this a negative for you? The Chiefs, you know, less, they're a day behind everybody else in the AFC. What are your thoughts on the way things got scheduled out?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. As a fan, I'm excited. I love having like the
potential that the Chiefs next opponent could get an extra day of rest.
Somebody's got to play it.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know what? Yeah. Because really, like, I get it. I don't know. I don't care. No, like, are we all jazzed up that the Chiefs have an extra day of rest before Pittsburgh? It doesn't really matter. Not really. You know, like, I don't think so. In fact, like, still, as a fan, I like the fact that they're playing last, because then you know, like, yeah, okay, if the Chiefs win, so they play, you know, I don't think it matters. If the Chiefs played Monday night, I'd have a different opinion. But yeah, playing the Saturday, sucks. Sunday games, I don't care. That's standard. The Monday game, that is a little bit of a different deal, because, you know, like, the Bucks and Eagles, you could say, well, they're all one game apart. The Bucks and Eagles play Sunday, like, in the morning, essentially. Cards and Rams play all the way on Monday night, and then whoever wins that game is going to have to travel. That's a lot. That is, and in some cases, might have to travel all the way across the country. Like, that, you're asking a lot. You know, there's a scenario where the Rams and Cardinals play. The Rams win. Or the Cardinals win. Actually, it doesn't even matter. Okay, whoever wins that game, there's a scenario they got to go play Tampa and go all the way across the country. That, I think, matters. The Chiefs and the Bills and whoever, I don't think it's a big difference.
I'm a little shocked the NFL allows for that kind of intrigue.
Right? It's the Monday game really sucks. That's a late game for the Cardinals and the Rams. But you got to figure that means they're definitely going to play on Sunday. The following week, whoever wins that,
yeah,
right. Like, I would throw a fit if I was one of those coaches and I had to play the Saturday game after playing Monday night in the divisional round of the playoffs. So that may sort of be a little bit of a clue. You know, probably one game is going to be NFC, so they'll probably stagger them. But the Chiefs could maybe have a greater chance of playing on Saturday than they do on Sunday.
By the way,
yeah.
I want to say a welcome to Cheeto Freak's dad, who's joined the group. He's involved. I see him, by the way. I've seen you with a lot of comments. Appreciate you being so active. Also signed into six different accounts to like it six times. My man.
The whole Freak family is here, too.
It's beautiful.
To support the show. It's a beautiful thing.
About the weather in Kansas City on Sunday night. I'm just looking at the weather app, so I'll take that for what it's worth. But it's supposed to be sunny throughout the day at 37, but at night it's supposed to be 16 degrees and clear. So those old bones of Roethlisberger, that ain't warming him up.
Nope.
I don't think Roethlisberger is exactly thrilled to death that it's going to be 16 degrees. But you know, it is what it, I think for the Chiefs, Mahomes has proven it. The cold weather does not bother him. Unlike with Allen, where he's really struggled with it in Buffalo, the Chiefs have had no issues playing in snow, playing in cold. So I think he does. Ben does wear gloves, but I mean, you're still 39 years old, man, and you're still taking those hits at 16 degrees. That is different than when it's 60. You know, like
hitting that ground.
Yeah, there's nothing fun about that if you're Roethlisberger and you're just getting pounded on in that weather.
You know, nothing like hypothermia as a retirement present, right?
I mean, that's not what you're looking for. Is that kind of weather. But hey, it's not Buffalo. It's not 3 degrees, which is just insane.
What do you think the odds are that the Chiefs are winning that game? If the Chiefs are winning that game at the end, and I don't know, some fans get a little rowdy or they put Ben up on the screen, that they start doing a little... You know what I'm going to say? What am I going to say?
I know where you're going with this.
Yes. They do a little goodbye chant to Ben.
Oh, I thought, okay, I didn't know.
I thought I was with you, man.
They would definitely jeer him on the way out.
Hey, goodbye, like to Ben. A little serenade on his last game. That's allowed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can we be that petty?
It's fine. Yeah.
I mean, are you allowed to say what you thought I was going to say?
No. No.
No.
No.
Okay. No, well, I appreciate you looking out for me, telling me not to say it.
No, I mean, they'll probably jeer him a little bit. Although, let's be real. I think most Chief fans will just be so happy that they're winning if they win. Like, I don't think – I think most Chief fans – now, if they play the Raiders at Arrowhead after what happened earlier this year, oh, they will hear it like none other. That's a whole other deal. But, I expect a little bit of jeering. It's football. It's the playoffs. Come on. It's supposed to be fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what this is all about.
All right, let's get into our wild card predictions. Let's start with Raiders at Bengals. Let's start with you this time, Vertaram. What's your final score prediction in that one?
30-27, Cincinnati. So I apologize, Connor, but about 9 times more points than you think the Raiders are going to score. I think it's close, and I think that game is the highest variance of any of them. So I think it's totally possible the Raiders win, but I will take who I think is the better team at home with a quarterback who right now is just playing great football. So I'll take Cincinnati to win for the first time in a playoff game in 31 years.
That's bananas. That's
longest current drought.
Matt Connor, what about you? I guess it's Raiders 3, right? What are the Bengals score?
No, less than 3. Gotta be less.
I get 3 points. I get 3 points on that. 30-3, man. I think it's 30-3. I think it's I just think it's, I think them and the Chiefs. You know what? Here's the thing. People use this term house money. They've never been to a casino. Have you ever won with house money? A casino will give you like some free chips for your birthday to play with. You put that junk in the slot machine. You don't win with house money. Anyone who says they're playing with house money has never gambled in their life. These teams are losing. Like, I lose those free chips in 5 minutes. There's no way. There's no way. Fans would rather go hear a pitch for a timeshare condo then rewatch what's going to happen to both those teams on Sunday.
I love it. I love it. Matt Connor gunning for Ryan Clark's job at the Hot Take Factory. Sterling.
Give me the Raiders 31-30 over the Bengals. I think it's extremely close. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. I think the defenses both get burnt. Again, I think Derek Carr is playing with a lot of confidence. He's been more consistent. I'm going to go with the more consistent team. As weird as that sounds, I do want to give the Raiders some credit. They've had the most off-the-field drama and just horrific acts I have probably ever seen consistently through a season. And Derek Carr and the rest of the team, they've come together. Give me Derek Carr and this team that's bonded.
I'm going to go, obviously, with the Raiders because that's what I said. I think it's going to be an ugly one. I'm going to go Raiders 17, Bengals 16 in a game that makes you want to scratch your eyes out. But I think the defense is going to muck it up with the Raiders and Joe Burrow. And let us know out there in the chat, by the way, some of you already are Bengals, Cheeto Freak says Bengals 3-0 after 7 overtimes. Oh, awesome. God, that would be an eye scratching out sort of game, although it'd be kind of fascinating. Jalen says Las Vegas 28, Cincinnati 24. Doyle BBQ says Vegas 31, Cincinnati 28. Appreciate y'all's predictions. Okay, Patriots at Bills. We'll start with you this time, Sterling. How's it going to go down?
I think the Bills win, and I think they do it pretty convincingly. Give me the Bills, say 31-17. I just don't see how the Patriots, if they fall behind, how they can catch up. They're built on trying to run the football. They're not built around trying to catch up from even a touchdown deficit. I they don't trust Mac Jones. I think Josh Allen gets some of the cold weather monkey off his back. He had his big playoff win last year. They had the big win against Kansas City this year. I think this is the next stepping stone for Josh Allen, and that's beating the Patriots in the playoffs.
Very, very convincing argument. Matt Connor, what about you?
I already said I think they're losing this weekend. The Bills are losing. I believe in Belichick. I think it's going to be a close call. I mean, they're two good teams, good coaches. It wouldn't surprise me if it goes either way. But, I'll go with New England 28-24.
Oh, that's an interesting score. Vertaram?
Buffalo 23-20. I think it's close, and I think it's very in play that Buffalo loses that game. But I think Allen finds a way to win it in the end. I have no faith in Jones. None. If you told me Mac Jones plays a B plus game, I think they'll win. I have a fear if you're a Pats fan, you end up being like, I cannot believe we played that well defensively and lost because Mac Jones went 15 of 37 with two picks. Like, that's kind of how I think it ends. But I think the Bills have a real shot to be in a very, very tough game that they could lose.
Yeah, I agree with you that you've always got to watch out for Belichick. But the way I kind of see this one going, to be perfectly honest with you, is a little bit like last night's national championship game. I think it's going to be close early and kind of ugly because that's the way Belichick's going to need the game to go. But I think at the end, Buffalo's offense is going to kind of overwhelm the Patriots. They're going to score enough points to where Mac Jones has to start throwing the ball a little bit, and then disaster is going to strike, maybe in the form of a pick six. So I'm going to go Bills 28, Patriots 16, in a game that's maybe a little bit closer than the score indicates. But Mac Jones is, I wrote a tweet thread about this earlier this year, and I actually want to go back and revisit it to see how close it ended up being. But Mac Jones was essentially like halfway through the season, was having the exact same season that Matt Cassel had when Tom Brady got hurt. I mean, the numbers were like down to a couple of yards in some cases. It was actually pretty staggering. Belichick knows how to drag a mediocre quarterback into the playoff picture, even though Cassel didn't make it. They won 11 games that year. So that's the way I think this one goes. What about you guys out in the chat? We got a New England 33. Oh, I lost it. Someone thinks New England's going to score 33. We got a 17-27. Our boss and Arrowhead Addict founder, by the way, is in the chat. The co-founder of Arrowhead Addict, the fan-sided network, Zach Best, is out there supporting the show. So give a little hat tip, y'all. This we're only here because of Zach and Adam starting Arrowhead Addict way back on April Fool's Day in 2007. How cool is that? And remember, they made this blog. It was like Herm was the coach. So they got this thing going during the darkest of days. Zach's got it, Patriots 23, Bills 21. So another Patriots upset. Inacio says New England 24, Buffalo 20. And Oregon Fishing, Pats 24-23. Josh Allen throws a game-losing pick six. That would be brutal. I think in this game, you got Mac Jones, rookie quarterback in the playoffs for the first time. And the Bills have experience now. You know, they've done this dance a couple of times, and I think that's going to be a big difference for them, that they're going to be feeling confident. They're not going to be intimidated. They're not intimidated by the Patriots anymore, and they're not intimidated by the playoffs, which actually makes – that's what makes me probably the most nervous about running into Buffalo in these playoffs. Is just the experience matters. I think it matters. And I think the Chiefs have, you know, they've had experience and they've run into these teams. And so we'll see how that all works out. Oh, Zach says, love you, Addicts. Love you too, Zach. All right. Any closing thoughts before we take a breather and we come back on Thursday night to talk about this Chiefs Steelers game in depth?
I got nothing.
No,
I think the AFC is going to be a really exciting weekend. I mean, the AFC is going to be very exciting. And I think Saturday in particular, you're going to have two games where any of those four teams can win. Yeah, look, the home teams are favored for a reason, but anybody can win. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch how it all plays out.
Drink some KC beer until Thursday. We'll drink it after then too, but we'll tell you drink more on Thursday. So today, tomorrow, drink some KC beer, tag us on Twitter, and we'll have some fun.
Nice. Love it. Matt Connor?
Which joke is best for the game?
Oh, God.
Najee. Wait, what was I going to say?
Oh, Christ.
Najee by nice?
Not that one. Not that one.
All right. Najee by nature? Is that one?
Najee by nature. I thought you were going to end this podcast by saying I'm ass again and just like leaving it at that.
No, but I had to pee for like 30 minutes.
Well, that's your problem. By the way, thanks to Fresh 305 for the super chat. I want to appreciate you guys. The work, the effort that you put into this podcast, I can see us being really big in the future. Well, listen, any success we all have is due to you all watching and listening and subscribing and paying attention. So we sincerely appreciate it. And Evan Werner, can you get KC beer sent to PA? All right.
Well, you know, they're not allowed to send across state lines. Mine was I drove to Missouri and I picked up all of the beer for us here, and I'm distributing to Verderam, and to I'm driving to Verderam's tomorrow, and I'm driving to Matt Connor's in Indiana as well, just to drop that beer off. KC beer is great, though. You got to get to KC. Maybe you can go for the playoff game if you're, you know, if the Chiefs make the divisional round. But I will say, and thanks for the super chat, because of you all, you've been absolutely incredible. And I think this podcast will be bigger in the future. But I will tell you right now, in the last 30 days, because of you all, we've had 100,000 downloads or streams. 100,000. That's just awesome. You guys are absolutely incredible. Don't worry, Cheeto Freak. I'll be back next week for the divisional round. I'm going to be at Arrowhead.
So wait, maybe, you didn't even say hi to me, Patrick. This is bullshit.
What?
That's right.
Well, get him. You know that
he didn't ask me to go to the game.
Wait, you didn't even text me? Patrick, I live here. Like, this is where. Look at the sign. It says Kansas City behind me. Patrick. Yeah,
yeah. That bag of dog crap that was left on your porch, that was me saying hello.
That could have been any one of my neighbors.
I didn't even hear about it. I heard nothing about this. Nothing. Just all of a sudden, oh yeah, Bob, I'm going to Kansas City next week. Like, okay, that's nice.
The division, the tickets came. I had to pull.
Oh,
the
they came across your desk was what you were about to say, weren't you? They came across your desk.
Came across my desk. I bought them. I got it. So anyway,
and you're not even taking me.
Well, well, you know, I have a missus, so there's some things to consider.
You're a selfish son of a bitch.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I got y'all free beer. So there's that, right?
I'm Big
Ben waddling his way
thankful
into the playoffs. I appreciate.
He's just saying that because if he doesn't get off the stream in about 30 seconds, he's gonna piss himself.
That's my bitch.
He said stream.
Yeah, that's right. You're the one with the bladder control issues.
To our producer Richard, we're going to need to get a toilet emoji in the Discord and the members only Discord.
Yeah, sorry, Richard.
So listen, appreciate you guys. You're all the best. You know the drill. This is a podcast, so head on over to Apple iTunes. We've been actually slacking on the reviews a little bit. So if you haven't had a chance to leave a review recently, we'll probably do a mailbag episode or something maybe midweek next week after the playoffs. So head on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us that 5-star review. Leave us a written review. We'll answer it here on the podcast. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you're not subscribed already. We appreciate it. And again, if you want to look into the membership option, we're going to keep expanding that, expanding the benefits. We're actually, for the members who are here watching right now, we're probably going to have a happy hour sometime soon for the folks that are members of the Airhead Addict podcast. So basically, we'll do a Zoom. We'll get some KC beer, and we'll all shoot shit and talk Chiefs for an hour. So all kinds of cool stuff like that. If you're interested, check that option out. Couldn't tell you guys how much we appreciate you. You are the best. And again, if you really want to support this podcast and help us out, the best thing that you could do, tag at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Let them know that you want to check out their beer, that you heard about it on this podcast, and that you appreciate them supporting this show so that we can keep bringing you this awesome content. They're the best. I'm serious. Really great people over there. I can't wait to knock a couple back the next time I'm in Kansas City. All right. For Sterling Holmes, for Matt Verderam, for Matt Connor and his bladder, I am Patrick Allen. We will see you. We'll be back here at 5 o'clock on Thursday night to preview Chiefs versus Steelers. Until then, go Chiefs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.